Welcome here to a very special wake-up call with Dan Tortora here on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app you can get by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. And on iTunes, the name of the show is the name of the free podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. So it's special today because I am sitting in studio in my own studio here, which has been an honor and a privilege to create, with Hunter Scott, who is someone that has not been on the airwaves for a little while in the Syracuse area, and it's a blessing to, I think a lot of people right now are probably listening, freaking out at the moment that I'm sitting, you know, right next to you. Right?
That's weird, but I guess I've had that thought about just, I usually freak out within myself, but not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't freak out because I'm Hunter, but I freak out because inside my head there's a lot of weird stuff going on. By the way, this is a cool room. This is like a true man cave.
I have a good wife. She's all for this.
I was starting to think, honestly, that you were gay because there's no way that most women would let this happen. Like, you know, this hat rack over here, you got hats from all over the place. My brother does this. 200.
Well, that hat rack was actually made, my mom used to work for Nabisco, and so that's like actually a chip
like
thing
where you put the chips on. Like in the elves were?
No, not with the elves.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. My mom is short, though. She would have led them all. But
the elf fudge.
Yeah, but you can spin it. And so I put all my hats on this old Nabisco rack because I can actually spin it and pick the hat that I want. There's like
two. You're a hat guy. This is my brother. Yeah, my brother does this.
I have to be.
He's got hats from all over the place, and I think they're in boxes because, you know.
They're not all on there. This is the sad part. They don't all fit on the hat rack of like 200 hats.
So if you had a favorite hat, Dan, if you had to pick one. I can't do that to you today because there's like minor league versus major league.
Yeah.
Versus everything, and I just knocked something down as well.
That's all right. Something fell on you. You're good.
Something from the Jaguars.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe that's God telling me that I have to say the Jaguars have one of my favorite hats, which they do. One of my favorite hats did come from Jacksonville.
I'll let that go. I'll let that happen.
NFL, it was the only time that I went to the NFL draft, and I went to it in New York City in Madison Square Garden, and I bought a draft day Jaguars hat while I was there.
That works. That works, and you're drinking out of a BB-8 cup. So
I've become a huge BB-8 fan. I'm not ashamed of it. He kind of stole the show. I went to
Eclipsing R2.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? I think so, too.
Did you see it on opening night, or did you see that?
No, I wasn't going near that place on opening night.
I went on opening night.
Did you really?
3D, IMAX, Destiny.
But they made it so unfun because you couldn't bring a lightsaber, you couldn't wear a mask, right? Yeah.
Some people, they didn't let
see a douchey words.
Well, it's like a 7-year-old could not wear a mask.
Right.
But they let like 20-year-olds wear masks. And I'm like, if it's between a 7 and a 20-year-old who's going to try and murder everybody, I would probably put it on the 20-year-old. I would think that's safe to say.
So you were there on opening night.
I was there on opening night. And there was a guy there that he built his own R2-D2 and let it go around, and he was controlling it in the corner, and like nobody knew it was him.
He's picking up chicks with it, I'm sure.
Well, there were people taking pictures with it for like 2 hours.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about nerds. Like, we think that, like, did you see the Star Wars commercial where the guy sends R2-D2 across the street to the girl that he likes, and it's like,
yes, it is.
That would never happen, just so you know. It'll get better. It'll get better for you, but like, there was a whole, did you ever have Star Wars shame?
No, you know what?
I had Star Wars shame.
I didn't grow up really close with Star Wars. I'm like a new fan. I had the read the Spider-Man comic book like hiding in the corner in my house because like nobody wanted to admit that they read comic books.
So yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And I had the same thing with Star Wars shame too, because it was one of those things where I was the biggest Star Wars fan. I mean, you know, like we used to go down to the basement and we would take my mom's old like brooms, and you know they used to come in different colors, so you'd unscrew that and you'd do a lightsaber. I actually got a friend that his name was Larry McFarlane. It's a true story. It's my sister's birthday party, and we're downstairs in the basement, and we're, you know, I'm Darth Vader and I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're a tool, no you're a tool. And for whatever reason we picked up whatever sticks we could find. His sticks had nails in them. And he came down like this, and I was like, I'm Luke, and it caught right here in my ear. I still got a scar.
Yeah.
And it was hanging down, so I had to go upstairs to my sister's party, and it's blood's gushing out, and my dad's like, ah, damn it, Kay, I want to take that, you know, and I had to go to the hospital, and that was my Star Wars thing. Then I went into Star Wars shame, because, you know, I always wanted, and then, you know, there was a point where it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool
at one point,
you know, like, and now everybody's caught up to it, now it's cool. So I guess what I'm saying to the kids out there, if there are two or three of them listening, you may feel like a nerd now,
right,
but one day your Pokemon will be widely accepted, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if that's how you roll.
Well, when I was a little kid, Ninja Turtles, I mean, the original Ninja Turtles, the circular ones, not the jagged one on the cartoon now, and Bebop and Rocksteady were my favorite villains to play with.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be a new movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows. Bebop and Rocksteady are going to be in it. Krang's going to be in it. The turtle van that shoots out the sewer tops. I mean, everything, like the child inside of me, everything I ever wanted from a Ninja Turtle movie is about to happen.
Did you like the last one?
I liked moments of it. I didn't like it all. I actually liked the original ones. So
the original movies were like,
Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah. What's his name? Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
He did the voice for that, yeah.
Yeah, there was, but I liked pieces of it. It was just, I mean, it's different, you know, it's a different, but I think this new one's going to be good. I just like Bebop and Rocksteady. I mean, I really could care less about a lot of the story.
I just was always appreciative that in the original cartoon, they took extra care to take care of April O'Neil's vagina. Like, they really did the first, that was like the first camel toe, I think, for kids, like me growing up. Because
I had the action figure.
Yeah, I mean, they made that toe, that thing was popping, you know, like you could see, you know, your religion in there.
Well, that's the funny thing is that, you know, April O'Neil was, you know, when you were a kid, she was that sexual being that was around for children, and who's playing it in the movies but Megan Fox, who, you know, doesn't want to be objectified, even though she plays all the objectifying roles.
That's true. It's, you know, it's so sad, though, like when you get turned on by a cartoon. It really is.
You want to know the first
thing? It feels so awful. You're like, why?
No,
why?
Wait, I can write the path. You know the first cartoon character that ever turned me on as a child? When you don't, you know that first moment when you don't know what's happening?
And you're like, what? Yeah, right.
Yeah, you think that everything that a man has is just to utilize the restroom, and then you find out that there's like another mindset to it.
Yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit. That was the first time.
Except that was in a theater. That would have been weird.
Well, I didn't know what I was feeling. But she...
Oh, I did.
She was one... I mean, she, at that moment, was the most attractive woman ever.
Yeah, I went through a Daphne stage. And I swear, I think, like, growing... Even, like, Super Friends, when you go back and you look at that stuff...
Yeah.
They really did. It was, like, old, dirty guys just drawing camel toe.
And they're still doing stuff.
And they're still doing it.
I mean, I don't think any female superhero has the cleavage is never covered, so to speak.
I know.
It's always out there.
Did you see that they did that? They took, I think it was BuzzFeed, that took actual women.
Yeah.
This is the difference, real quick, because guys have our fantasy world, and we think we draw women with these ridiculous waists and all that. And they actually had these women on BuzzFeed try to emulate, like, you know, some of these poses that these cartoon characters do, and none of them could do it. It was like completely impossible. And even after Photoshop, they couldn't get them to where it was. Because that's the guy's mind, you know.
Well, I mean, it is. I love my wife, and I honestly, I look to my wife, and that's all I'm concerned with.
Mm.
There are, but and then I look at comic books, and there'll be comic book characters that I like, and my wife will come in, and she'll look at the comic book cover, and she'll go, that's interesting. You know, the you know, black cat or something like that with everything popping out. It's basically like if there was ever a real woman wearing leather zippered up like that flying around, then it would rip and it would all fall off.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's no way you could move in it. And so, you know, I find it's very strange to me. And then I went to New York Comic Con, and you've been there before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you see the women that dress up in these costumes and walk around just to have nerds stare at them.
That's what nerds do.
And I look at it and I'm like, this is not the world. Like, I mean, they looked like cartoon hookers.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, now they've got a whole line of adult-themed movies after that stuff, which is just something I just
can't. That's disgusting.
I know it is, but it happens. You'll be like sitting there, like, what? Oh, Scooby. You know, like, and then you're done. Yeah. Anyway, that's all we've got to say about that.
But we brought up the Star Wars movie, so yeah. What'd you think? Did you like it?
I loved it. I really did. You know, although there was a couple of things that I thought were hilarious to me, like, is it me, or did it look like Han Solo just shit his pants? Like, he had, like, the old guy, like, my grandfather used to wear those big boxer shorts, and, yeah. Like, the way Harrison Ford was, like, walking around, Chewie, and it just looked like he had a, like, he just didn't, I felt like the whole movie, the way he walked, I felt like he didn't complete wiping, you know what I mean?
He like, looked uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow, like, it was great, and... I don't know. Can we do spoilers yet? I mean, most people.
Anyway, I mean, most people. Like, well, what, do it. Well, we're going to do it like this. I'm going to count down, and then it's their fault. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you listen right now, there are going to be Star Wars spoilers. So at this point, it is not our fault. It's your fault. We don't want to hear you complain.
All right. Number one, Kylo Ren has got the greatest hair I've ever seen on an individual. I don't know if he's using Wen or what he's... I guarantee it's Wen, because it's probably the Empire. He's got a lot of stuff. The hair was great. Han Solo bites it in this movie, which I think everybody kind of thought was going
to
happen.
Well, you can't go on a suspended bridge with nothing to hold on to. Yeah. Someone's...
When did you know he was going to bite it? When did you know it was done?
When he walked on the bridge.
Oh, see, I knew way before that. I knew as soon as they were going back in that thing, Star Killer Base or whatever. I'm like, oh, he's done.
Well, I figured somebody was going to go, and I mean, Luke hadn't been in the movie until the end. So, I mean, but for me, once you go on a suspended bridge, somebody's not coming back. And as soon as he grabbed that lightsaber and Kylo Ren said, "Can you help me?" and then he didn't let go of it, I'm like, this bastard is going to kill him.
It was sad how he fell off, though. I was like, really?
Yeah.
But no, I really loved the movie a lot. I thought it was really good. I think, you know, it had all the magic of the coolest thing, actually, for me, I took my son, and I never really thought about this before, but he's 11, and we're in the theater, and, you know, we're just, I bought the t-shirt, all that stuff, and he, as soon as the screen goes dark and the scroll starts coming across, he whispers, he goes, "Dad, this is the first time I'm seeing Star Wars in the theater." And I was like, oh, wow, you're right. You know, because my older two, I took them to the first three that will never be mentioned again. And they were so little, they didn't really care. It didn't have that matter. But this, it felt like I felt when I was his age. And I remember I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and my grandmother took me to a movie, to that movie, and that Star Destroyer comes across Tatooine. And... It was like nobody had ever seen that before. Nobody had ever seen that on the movies before. And it was so exciting, so cool. So we had that same thing. So, like, that to me is what really Star Wars is about. I think the writing was great.
I mean, I just remember because I went to see it opening night, and then I went to see it again with my wife. And when we went to go see it, and you see that the wording, they get smaller in the distance, I just looked at her and I was like, this is how they did every movie. Like, yeah. I just, it's something about the nostalgia of having how it opened up was really cool. But, I mean, to me, as you can see around my studio, the BB Cup, the BB-8 Android. I'm wearing,
a little bit obsessed, are we?
I'm wearing a BB-8 t-shirt under my long sleeve shirt here. So, I became a BB-8 fan way in the beginning. When everybody fell in love with him, like, no, he's already mine. That's my guy. It's my dude. So, I think, I thought he stole the show. I thought he did some cool things. I love the thumbs up with his lighter. I thought that was pretty cool.
Very cool.
But, I mean, I don't know. I like the thought. I'm not a big guy for robots in your house, and, you know, China's like, let's have butlers and all that. Because I believe the iRobot, somebody will program it, and then they'll kill us all.
Sure.
So, the little Android BB by Sphero, having him talk to me, run around the house, he's small enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's small enough, but there is a part of me that believes that every time I turn him on, because you have to turn your Bluetooth on, that the government, through his eye, is looking at everything in my house.
They probably are. I just wanted to say that I also have invested in BB-8. Okay. I've got BB-8 briefs on right now. And actually, ladies, if you've ever wondered, that is exactly what my balls look like. One is a little bit shorter than the other one. It's something that happened at birth. I think it was squeezed out the canal or something like that. So, yes, that's really what some people look at it as malshapen, malformed. Those are what my balls look like.
So you're saying that
my balls look like BB-8, yes.
So Star Wars... took a look at your balls and created. Yeah. So you're responsible for BB-8.
I would say I'm responsible, but I was amazed at how dead on. I mean, if you flip BB-8 to the side, those are my balls.
So that's you.
That's my balls.
That's amazing. If you tickle them, do they do the doddle doddle?
I mean, yeah. Oh yeah, they'll doddle 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 all over your face. Anyway, that's stuff I used to do anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the movie. I thought it was great, and this is actually kind of fun. I haven't done this.
Yeah.
You got to understand, I haven't done anything in what, 6 months? I think whenever I was working at a certain place, and then I was not.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
What can you say about the whole path? You and I talked about it, but what would you like to say about the disappearance of Hunter Scott?
Sometimes things happen. You know what? It's one of those things. I don't really want to talk about it, to be honest with you. And yeah. I'll tell you why. I think it's had enough attention.
Yeah.
I will say this. I was very flattered, and I was blown away. Actually, when I wasn't at K-Rockathon and the Where's Hunter hashtag trended, I that blew me away. Because when you do this, you're in a room, and like we are now, and you don't know if people are listening, they're laughing at something, they're not laughing at something. And over the past few months, you know, a lot of people have come up to me and just, you know, been very kind.
Right.
Said things that, you know, I really didn't even think about myself. And that was really... really awesome. I look at it this way. It was a part of my life. That chapter closed for the reasons that it did. And I'm moving on, you know, as one of those things. And not, it sounds weird because I don't take it that seriously, I guess. You know, like, it's weird to me when people come up and say something. I don't understand it because I'm like, you actually listen to this crap? Like, somebody came up to me the other day and said, oh, I loved it when you did Robert the Doll. And I was like, Robert the Doll, what did I do? What did I do? You know, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And it was always, for me, kind of a catharsis. I love what I'm doing. I love Syracuse, you know. And, I want to stay here. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Radio's a tough gig. It's just a tough gig. And there's only so many places you can go.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great people on radio. And I got a lot of respect for a lot of people in this town. And, you know... for me, leaving was a very amiable thing. I try not to hold any sort of what's the word I'm looking for, resentment or anything like that, because it's just the business. That's what it is.
Yeah.
This business changes, and you know, you're on the air and then you're not. So anyway, I haven't done this in 6 months, and it's kind of like, you know how like. If you've been dating a girl like in college, and I always had long distance relationships, and I think that's something with me. I don't know what it is. You know, like intimacy issues or something. I don't know. Probably an intimacy issue. And then you haven't seen her in like a month.
Yeah.
And then you're driving to go see her. Like, I used to date this girl in Delaware, and I remember just driving, you know, from Pennsylvania to get down to Delaware, and I couldn't wait. And then all of a sudden you're like, there she is.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, we're gonna get tangled up, and you know. And you're like, oh man, I hope I do this right. I hope I don't suck at this, you know. And that's kind of what I feel like right now. Like I'm like, wow, I haven't done this at all.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fun. It's
all completely heterosexually speaking. Yes. I appreciate that you are tangled with me right now.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Get off the back. no, but it's a really cool thing. You know, I loved my time. In radio here. I wish I could do it for a long, long time here, but you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes. So I have taken a job in South Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm getting down south, which is fun, kind of funny because I grew up down south and now I'm going back down south again.
Yeah.
But it was a great opportunity, and I couldn't, and you know this, I mean, this is, you know, radio doesn't always pay the bills.
Right.
And when you got kids and stuff, you got to take care of that. So that's what I did. And, you know, I really love my time here. And I appreciated everybody that listened. It was so kind. And even if you hated me, that's cool, too. I really loved going to work. And I always have loved doing this. There's just, and you know,
yeah,
this is either something you do or it's something you're not. You're either, it's in your blood or it's not. And if it's in your blood, God help you. it's like, it's the Metachlorians, man. There's nothing you can do. It's Radichlorians. So, yeah. That's kind of the whole thing in a nutshell.
Yeah, you know, and I think you know, you and I had worked in the same place beforehand, and that's how we got to know each other.
Yeah.
I came on your show, you came on my show, and to appreciate, you know, what traditional radio is and what it brings to different things, but, you know, I realized my avenue and what I wanted to do. I love traditional radio. I love, you know, I love all of it, and, you know, but to me, where Syracuse is, where it's going, what I'm looking at, I enjoy what I'm doing. I always wanted to start my own company. I wanted to show people that there is a good way to get there. There's a better way to get there. You don't have to sacrifice your morals. You don't have to sacrifice, you know, and not have a paycheck and not be able to do things.
So. I sacrificed my morals just to get on this show today. No, but I know what you mean. Yeah, you're right. And it's what's exciting, I think, about things right now is that it's changing so much. And, you know, traditional radio, I think, does need to kind of catch up with what's going on. But at the same time, I like it too. It's an art form, and this is what I love to do. So I'll probably be doing this till I'm like 75 years old, and, you know, God help me if I am. But it was one of those things. As soon as I got an opportunity to get back in, I'm like, I got to take this.
Yeah.
You know, I got to do it. And, you know, it's not bad when you're in 60-degree weather.
Right, no.
You know, as opposed to, what is it, 20?
25, okay. I believe, at the time we're talking.
Which is why, again, my balls look like BB-8. That's why. Syracuse, you have done this to my balls. One just actually it retreated in and went, screw it, and right back in. But, yeah, I appreciate you asking that question.
Yeah, okay.
It's one of those things, Dan, you just don't... You know, this is going to sound, this past 6 months for me was really, really good because I had some time to pull back. And when you go through any sort of job change, there's all kinds of emotions that go with it.
Yeah.
What happened? Why did it happen? There's anger that comes with it. There's all this stuff. But what I've really found is that, you know, even when something doesn't end the way you would like it to end, there's so much that you could pull out of it. And it's all in how you approach it.
Right.
And it's all in how you come about. I mean, I could, you know, I could go on and blast people. I'm not going to do that.
No.
I don't see any point.
You should never give free publicity to people that,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And not only that, it's just, it's wasted energy.
Right.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It's really wasted energy. I just don't get to the point. I didn't want to get to the point. And there were some days where I woke up and I was, you know, super pissed off. And then I'm like, you know what? Things happen for a reason. I never used to think that either. I never, ever used to think that. But the more I am just kind of going with things, I realize that things happen for a reason. And
there's no coincidence.
Yeah, man. And you don't know why it's happening at the time. You may be sitting there going, I'm sure somebody's in a situation that I was in or you've been in before. You're like, I don't believe this. What am I going to... Things always have a way of working out. It's funny. This job that I'm taking... came at just the right time. It was, and I don't know what that is. I mean, everybody has their own belief things. I'm still trying to form mine. But it was weird. It was right when I needed it. It was bam. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's a new challenge. It's a new change. It's new people. But I think if you're ever in a situation like we're in, you just kind of roll with it. And you take even the good and the bad because they're both together.
Yeah, you know, and I think, like you had said, you know, you take, no matter what your situation is or if it's a positive or negative situation, you always take something good out of it. And when you brought that up, it made me think of ex-girlfriends in my life. What I realized I took out of every ex I had that was around, you know, for a good amount of time, is that the exes that I had, I always found good places to eat. Or got good recipes.
Me too.
So what I've taken out of my life is you know, from bad relationships, I found good food. So, yeah. You know, I was introduced to Bojangles down south, which you'll have.
Bojangles. That's Bojangles. Interesting. All the things down south. I've had Bojangles.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Bojangles, yeah.
But it is kind of my crack.
Yeah.
Bojangles.
I'm like that with Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, Chick-fil-A and Bojangles is like the disgruntled cousin of Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Bojangles is drunk.
But I love them both.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Chick-fil-A will have, like, a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Bojangles is out in the back drinking clear, and it's got a Copenhagen ring, and it does not care.
Yeah.
It will party with anybody. No, I like that kind of thing, too, man. It's good. And you're right. I think it's just, it's, I mean, I'm leaving tomorrow, which is...
Yeah.
Weird. I
don't know.
I haven't really processed that. Yeah, I think I did the other night, but I haven't processed that. And now I'm like going, wow, this is kind of a new thing, and this is going to be interesting, and let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. And I know I'll probably be, you know, checking in with you, trying to do it once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Once I get down and get settled. It's a great city. And guess what? The name of the team is the Gamecocks. Yeah, and if you take the game off, it's just Cox.
Yeah, there's actually hats. Yeah, it's kind of the perfect place for you.
It's
because
they're totally made.
There are hats. I mean, they're a literal hat. I mean, these were hats that were made.
That was the first thing I bought. Was a Cox hat.
Yeah, it says, you know, I love Cox, and it's got the South Carolina thing on the back.
And that's what I bought. That was the first. That's true. I should have worn it here today. I bought a I love Cox, and yeah, I'm sure people are like, I knew it, But yeah, it's a really cool thing. I'm going to miss it here.
Yeah.
But you know, I. You know, and who knows? Weirder things have happened. Maybe you end up back here one day. You never know.
Yeah. I somehow went to Scranton, Syracuse, Orlando, Syracuse. So I seem to keep bouncing back to my hometown.
I know. And that's the weird thing. People don't understand that, I think, about radio is that most people, that if you are really, truly in radio, very few of us can, you know, do like 20 years in a market. And those that can, I applaud it. Like, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Like, the last place I was at, I was like, I'll be here for 20 years. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but most people in radio, you have to move around because there's the old adage, which is there are two types of people in radio, those that have been fired and those that are going to be fired. That's it. I mean, you're in that collection somewhere. Yeah. But it's kind of the cool thing about it, too.
And those of us that could have been on food stamps at some point.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Well, dude, I'm going to miss a lot of people here. There's some good friends of mine that I've really come to really love and respect around here, and I'm going to keep in touch with them. And you know, anybody that wants to follow me, you can. It's Hunter Cuse, for now, 69, which people think but it's the year I was born because I'm old.
Yeah.
So Hunter Q69 on Twitter. I haven't gotten back off of Facebook yet. I'm sure I will at some point. Man, I think you and I should just check in once in a while and see how everything's going.
Yeah, we definitely should. I know you and I had talked about if you had stayed up here, but the beauty of being on the internet for myself is I can reach anybody at any time, whenever the heck I want to. I technically have a home anywhere. So, you know, I think that the show that we had set out to do is definitely plausible and can happen. We'll figure out the parameters of it, make sure we get it done.
Maybe we'll call it the Dan Tatora reach around, since it's the internets and you got to reach out. I am going to look forward to it. I'd love to check in with you once I get settled down there and get my head together. I mean, it's going to be kind of it's weird. For the first time in my life, I'm going to be like 2 hours from my parents, which I don't know what to do with that because my parents are like, you know, 2 days in and out, but they're on the beach, so I might just go hang out there and just do that.
I have to ask you this because I've called and left you numerous messages with a complete intent to make this song haunt your dreams, but Adele's Hello, I put it on my top 15 best songs of 2015, to your chagrin, I'm sure, but
yeah,
everybody
loves that song.
But I really like it. But here's the thing. I do get what you're saying. She's calling somebody up and saying, I broke your heart. I screwed you over. Why don't you want to talk to me?
She's like, hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times. I'm like, Adele, I'm not answering. It's over. And by the way, you're kind of beefy, but it's over. Like, I hear that song. Like, every Adele song to me is like stalker. She's like a stalker.
Well, the thing is, after you call somebody 1,000 times. Okay, let's minimize it. Let's think about relationships you've been in, relationships I've been in.
Right, I've done the drive-by and the call.
If you call a girl 15 times over a couple days span,
you're crazy.
The 16th time, if she picks up, why would you think after 15 no shows on the phone that that 16th time she's going to call and go, oh my, you know, I just realized that I love you and everything's okay. I mean, if you don't answer the phone 15 times, number 16 is a restraining order or something.
She called 1,000. She said at least, and it wasn't even like, it's probably more than that because it's Adele.
Well, she said hello from the outside, so I'm pretty sure that she was calling from the front lawn.
She's like the worst. She's like the worst. Like, ghost ever. Like, you, if you nail Adele, you are going to... She will haunt your dreams. I really do believe
that. Is she worse than Taylor Swift, though? Because Taylor Swift dates to utilize
it. Yeah, but Taylor at least kicks people to the side. She's done with you. You know, like, she uses you for... And then, boom, out the
door. Was she considered a lesbian for dating Harry Styles?
Mmm. You know what? I like Harry Styles.
You like Harry
Styles? I do. I hate to say it.
I feel like bald men everywhere are really pissed off that he just continues to grow that mane.
Yeah, man. I like that stuff. I don't know why, but yeah. Harry Styles.
Do you like One Direction?
Yeah.
You do?
I do. I hate to say it.
I will say that I like the song Steal My Girl. I didn't know that they sang it, and then I looked it up, and I was like, well, I like the song.
I like Steal My Girl. And I like a lot of Taylor Swift songs, too.
Yeah.
Like, out of that... Did you see that video on New Year's Eve, the Out of the Woods one?
I know the song, but I didn't see the video.
Like, there hasn't been a blue dress that has been that abused since the Clinton administration.
I knew that was
coming. Yeah, I knew. You figured that one. Yeah, right? See where I was going. It was. I mean, she starts out in this beautiful blue dress, and then by the end of it, she's just like, I don't care. Do what you want with me. And yeah, I was waiting for Billy to go, there it is. No, I like Taylor Swift. I do. Yeah. I wanted to hate her for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And then I'm like...
My wife tried to, and then she said, I like this song.
Yep, that's what happens.
I like this song. And then it got to 4, and then it got to 7, and then it got to... And I said, once you've reached half a CD, you like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, because I wanted to hate it too. Like last year when 1989 came out.
Yeah.
And by the way, kids, that's on vinyl. It's on vinyl. I can't believe it. But
yeah, I like that vinyl's coming back.
Yeah, I do too.
I do that now.
But it's strange. It's like I wanted to hate it. Like I hated that first song with the din 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 din.
Oh yeah, I stay out too late.
Yeah, whatever it was. But then as the songs kept going, I'm going, God, she's really good. It's kind of like Bieber now. Like I like some of Bieber's new music.
Do you remember when were you in the room when we met Bieber?
Oh,
you remember? You remember being there?
I could have killed Justin Bieber before he got out of control because he was remember, he was a little brat.
He was 14 years old.
Yeah, he was a little brat.
But we saw, you know, our footage was in the movie Never Say Never, apparently.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so.
And there was a place downstairs where the basement dwellers were.
Yeah.
And he's walking by, and I remember meeting him, and he was just, I was like, ooh, you little prick. You know, like he was really kind of obnoxious. So I'm sitting there and there was this, you know, a flight of stairs. I'm like, all I got to do is just one kick. And this kid goes over and it's over.
And remember, he was 14 at this point.
And all he talked about was Usher.
The guitar was, well, when he said, I'm deciding between Usher and Justin Timberlake, I looked around the room and I was like.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was like. This kid can't be serious. I thought he was kidding.
Yeah.
I thought he was talking about like a movie Usher and then another Justin he knew. I mean, he said he was deciding, but you know, I got the autograph. I was like, what not? I mean, if he becomes big, I could sell it, whatever. I went down to Orlando that next month and they were selling his tickets. He literally, from the time we saw him 30 days later, he blew up and they were selling his tickets everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember going into like an FYE and there was a cardboard cutout of the kid I had just seen.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Which is strange to me.
But I like his new music. Like, he's come around.
I like Sorry.
Yeah,
I like
that song. It's good stuff, man. You know? So.
And I feel like, I mean, there's definitely a Selena back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah, well, I can understand that.
Yeah, but if I mean Selena, you can do better than that.
Maybe not. Maybe grows up. I don't know.
Nah, I think she can.
Get rid of the old Jerry.
I think she can do better than that.
He named it.
He named it Jerry?
He named it Jerry. Or his fans did.
Is he looking for Tom?
Why do I know so much about Justin Bieber? Oh
yeah, that's really bad that you know that.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Do you like the song Truffle Butter?
Yes, I do. That's one of my favorite songs. We did a rap to that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Called Fish Cove.
Oh, nice.
We dedicated it to Fish Cove.
I like that.
Around Easter. I can't remember the lyrics, but you can check it out.
Yeah, I mean, Truffle... It's funny, though, that a lot... I had the conversation at lunch
Truffle today. Butter's nasty, though.
But this is the thing. Like, one of my friends got steak, and I said... And we both know what Truffle Butter is, so I looked at our other buddy, and I was like, you know what Truffle Butter? He was like, I don't know what truffle butter is. I was like, you know, I was like, truffle butter, and we didn't want... There's a thing that if you're with a friend and they don't know, you just want them to Google it because you don't want to
ruin their meal.
Well, you don't want to describe it. And then my buddy who knew nothing about it, he was like, I love putting truffle butter all over my steak, and I had to walk away.
Well, some people like truffle butter all over the steak. I mean,
there's nothing good about truffle. But, I mean, when it comes out of Lil Wayne's mouth, it's I mean... I like his music, but there's nothing that he does that he says that is that can be somehow interpreted as positive toward women. I mean, it's pretty clear.
I don't know. Have you ever had truffle butter?
Truffle butter is disgusting. That's gross.
Yeah.
I would never. I mean, and they're talking about fresh sheets and towels.
Yeah.
Saying that she likes it. I mean, I don't think any woman would
it's
like
my new dance.
There's something.
I put it on the toilet.
Yeah. When he puts one leg on the toilet, it's my new dance move. I just don't.
Well, you know, sometimes you get a few in you, and it's just got to happen right there and right now.
I guess so. I guess if he's lazy,
happens at Ralph Wilson all the time.
Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Oh yeah,
truffle butter.
Oh, I'm talking on the toilet.
Oh,
no people. Yeah, they'll get it on right there.
Oh,
you want?
God.
Yeah. So there you go.
I don't like that. Can we talk about the dome really quick? About the cattle. I call it the cattle grazing line, where there's the U shaped steel urinal where it looks like where men are being milked in order to, like, you know, for a farm or something. I will not pee next to 70 men.
Really?
I wait for the stall.
Really?
I'm proud of everything that I've been blessed with by God upstairs. Thank you. I don't like being that close to another man, especially without a partition.
You know what I always try to do? I try to find where the ice is, and I just go to melt it.
Well,
I guess ice is. Oh, I guess that's, not ISIS.
Yeah, you can't say ISIS.
But I would pee on ISIS. Oh, I'd pee all over ISIS.
Well, you can pee on ISIS.
Any day.
I think if you pee, anything you pee on, you own. So if somebody was to pee on ISIS, then they couldn't make any decisions without you.
And I just thought of something funny.
What?
Maybe it's funny to me. A friend of mine won't go to the movies.
Why? They think everybody's going to.
They're afraid of. It's a true story. They're afraid of lice and ISIS.
I will tell you.
And they put together lysis, and I'm like,
lysis.
Yeah, that's got a trend. I can't think that wouldn't trend.
Well, this is the thing. I always look when I'm on a plane or if I'm in a movie theater. I always turn around, and whoever's with me always looks at me like, what is he doing? But I always, like, check the seat, and I wipe the seat with my hand just in case.
Yeah.
Just to make sure there's nothing on it.
Well, my friends now made me paranoid of that because I like going to movies.
I love
And then I'm like, oh, that's right, because we do, like, around the Syracuse area, we have some licey people. Like, there's always, let's just say my kids are in a district with the last name Pool, and there's always, like, a lice kid that just comes in, and he's got lice, and if your kid gets lice, it's, like, the worst thing. You got this little fine-tuned comb you have to go through.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
It's so gross.
It's awful. So now lice is probably going to keep me away from movies, and I'll probably get everything on BitTorrent.
No, you need to go. But see, what I don't like is, you know, why... I mean, I guess you put metal... I think they should at this point put metal detectors into movie theaters, but why shoot up... I mean, what is it about a movie... Shoot up anything, I mean, obviously it's wrong. But the thing is, you know, that these people may claim insanity, or, you know, the voices in my head told me to go to the movie. But it's like people are going to a movie theater to... It used to be the idiot that was throwing the M&Ms behind you, pissed you off, and now you have to think about a gunman that's dressed up like Bane from Batman. I mean, it's just gone a different way.
See, I don't get that. I don't get that weird about it. I don't think about it that much until the lysis thing happened.
Can I tell you what happened? Do you know the movie Spotlight?
Yeah.
My wife and I went to go see Spotlight, and I swear, and not all priests are bad, this just made me uncomfortable. So we're watching the movie, and there's this guy. See, I'm that person where I can... I mean, I'm Italian and Hispanic, so I'm kind of trained to watch the room.
A lot of weird stuff going on.
I'm just watching the room all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm looking off to my left, and I see this guy, and he's standing up. He will not sit down, and he's standing up behind me over my left shoulder, and then he would walk down the stairs a little bit, and then he'd walk back up, and then he'd walk down the stairs, and I could see him just going back and forth, but he wouldn't sit down, and I swear he had a priest collar on, and I'm thinking, why would a priest be standing up in the movie Spotlight that's about priests molesting children? And then that got me a little bit concerned.
That's weird. It could have been the Mucinex thing. walking down the aisles.
It could be. Yeah, you know they like to do that. Yeah, introduce the next guy. And just but it, that like that, I don't like. I don't like when people, you know, or when you're in an airport and you're waiting to get on a plane and you got somebody else that's like, it's just people do things that are really messed up that they should know are messed up.
That's true.
And they just do it anyways.
That's also true.
Like, you know, they're just like, hey, I need, I mean, there was a guy, I'm not on my mom's flight, but on, when my mom was a flight attendant, one of her friends is doing a flight and there was a person who, you know, Muslim religion and on the flight, I guess it was noon or whatever it was, one of the times to pray, they got up and they had these things that looked like battery packs, and they strapped it to one hand, strapped it to the other, and then he strapped one to his head, and then proceeded to open up his book and start to pray on the plane. And anybody sitting around you, when it looks like you're duct taping a battery to your head, yeah. And people, so the flight attendant went over to them and said, you know, excuse me, sir, but what are you doing? You know, this is making people uncomfortable. But the thing, I mean, you have to know that that's not, I mean, I understand you need to pray, and I respect it, but on a plane, post 9/11, strapping a battery pack looking thing to your head, common sense has got to lay in somewhere.
Yeah, I guess that probably would. I don't have any answer to that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like on those flights, though, you want to have Chuck Norris.
Oh, easily.
You always want to have Chuck Norris.
Easily. Yeah, always something like
You're
that.
A Walking Dead fan.
I am.
Talk about this.
Okay.
What do you think about Walking Dead? Should Glenn be alive at this point? Because to me, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Many people have died from very... I mean, he should be dead logically, in my opinion.
Well, unless you follow the comic. Then if you follow in the comic book, then some crazy stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, Negan.
So yeah, yeah. So that, no, I mean, the dead is always good. I actually have my Rick Grimes jacket in here. I was really proud of that. I found it because I was getting ready to pack up the car. I'm like a college student now. I got all my crap in the back of the car, and I found my Rick Grimes jacket. But I think, you know, the dead was really good this year in the sense that you knew he wasn't dead. You knew it. You just knew it. It was like you knew Han Solo was going to die. You knew Glenn probably was, you know, not dead. And what I really liked is when they just kind of took that right turn, and after all that stuff went down with, you know, the guts being pulled out and everything, then they did this totally chill Zed episode.
Yeah.
After that. And I thought it was really brilliant. You know?
I didn't think I was going to like the episode you're talking about with Morgan.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, you know, an hour and a half.
I loved it.
I felt like it was so profound, and I appreciated it. Because going into it, I was like, oh, this is going to bore me. But coming out of it, I respect it. But I'm not happy with Morgan trying to beat up on my girl Carol and keeping a wolf. And especially a wolf with would you call those crack teeth? Are those crack teeth?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, a crack teeth?
That's Matty Dale tooth is what that is. That's Matty Dale tooth.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he has to go, but...
You think I'm kidding. Matty Dale, you've got some jacked up teeth. I've never seen more jacked up
teeth. Have you been to the Hollywood Theater?
No.
In Matty Dale.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. I have. Now I think about it. Yes, I had to think about it for a second. Yes, I have.
When was the last time you went?
It's been enough time that's gone by that I could probably go again. I'd say once every 5 years.
Because I went a few times as a kid, but I went when I was 7 years old, saw the original Jurassic Park.
Wow.
And I was sitting in the second row. I remember you didn't have to buy any candy because there's plenty of gummy bears and gum on the floor for you.
Sure, and other things.
And in the bathroom, it actually looked like a velociraptor had jumped through the wall. There was the tile down, and there was actually wires holding it up that were hanging, lights kind of flickering. And, you know, I don't know if there was a door on the bathroom at that point. They said that it's gotten classier since then, but if you want to terrify a seven-year-old, go see Jurassic Park and then have a Jurassic-type bathroom.
Classier.
I don't think it's that bad anymore, but I don't know. I
mean, that should be their new slogan. Hollywood Theater. We just got classier.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you go see a 3D movie at Destiny, it's, what, 18 bucks?
Yeah, and worth every penny.
If you go to see one at Hollywood, instead of the movie being a dollar, it's like $2.
Yeah, but you'll just get a conjunctivitis after you're done, a little red eye.
I get nervous.
Yeah.
Where would you think hepatitis would come from first? Hollywood Theater or the State Fair?
Ooh. What day of the State Fair? Are we talking like 6-7 days into it?
I'm going
to
say
things have had a little time to settle down.
I'm going
to
say day 7.
Oh, where at the state fair?
Yeah, right at the midway where all those 5 points cross, be in front of Villa Pizzeria.
All right, am I? Ooh.
You've passed the dairy building.
Right, I'm thinking this out.
Right.
So you're past the dairy building.
You're going toward the midway where drunk people are playing darts at 3 p.m.
Oh, I'm
going
to say hepatitis happens at the Rastafarian banana booth. That's exactly where hepatitis is at.
You know how when you go to play on the pool table and they're rigged and the holes are different and there's like bumps in and whatever?
Yeah.
I paid the guy, I played the pool game, and I kid you not, I got every single one of the balls in for pool. So I'm thinking I got one of these giant animals. This is what the guy says to me. He said, technically, you've won because you hit all the balls in, but you only paid me $3 to play and not $5. He handed me this little rinky-dink, like, 3-inch animal instead of a giant one because I did everything I was supposed to do, but I didn't give him enough money to win a big animal.
That's the way it works. My kid figured out how to do the bottle game. Like, there's a way online where he studied it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they were like, he'd go and he'd win.
There's nothing like winning.
And they're like, no mas. And they're like, I was like, all right, well, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. There's nothing like winning a fish, though, and having it die on the way home.
Yeah. Well, this has been cool, man.
Yeah, it's definitely been fun.
One more thing, a good thought before I leave. I don't know why, but on, I think it was Saturday night, I was sitting at home by myself watching 2020, because that's what you do when you're old. And they were doing the Bill Cosby, like the rapes of Bill Cosby. It was really creepy because, like, they were being 100% graphic.
Yeah.
Every one of these women. And I absolutely believe that Bill was drugging these women and doing. I believe. And it was always. There was one thing that hit me. She was like, so we go out, and Mr. Cosby invited me inside his trailer, and I was nervous, but he said he was going to give me a part in the Cosby Show, and then he said, oh, why don't you drink this? And they would drink it, and then, you know, and the next thing I know, I wake up with his penis in my mouth. And they were saying this on 20, like, what are, like, Bill Cosby, does everybody realize Bill Cosby was going across just... Nut.
What do you call it when you drop your balls on somebody's face?
Fruit basket in chicks.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, but the best one, there was some model or something.
When he was putting his balls on people, there's a gif of him waving while he's sticking a pudding pop in his mouth, and it just becomes much more relevant now.
Oh God, it's great. So, but this one, I guess she was a Playboy model, and you know he got all rapey with her, too. I always thought, too, he'd probably start doing, like, one of the Fat Albert characters. Like, anyway. But she said, and I this stuck out in my head. I was like, that's so descriptive and so weird. She said, he drugged me, and then I looked up, and all I could see is 1 pound of his man flesh. Bill Cosby had a pound down there.
Yeah.
And she talked about it.
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird. I don't know.
That's right. This was Barbara Walters talking to these people?
No, they were doing some 2020 investigation on, you know, whether or not...
Yeah, he did.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And he's got that one weird eye now. So anyway, that just came out. But anyway.
It's creepy.
I took that over. I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay.
Bad seg.
Ending a show on Bill Cosby. Is
1 pound. 1 pound. It's a pound of man flesh. That's what she said.
Yeah.
It's weird. Anyway.
But I think the only way to end on this is to say, if we're going to go there, that if you're in a bathroom and you see Hunter or I, or any man for that matter, when there are a bunch of urinals, let's say there's 5, if I'm on the one all the way to the right, please go to the one all the way to the left. I don't know why people need to stand next to you. And I will tell you this. This is how we have to end it. So, New Year's Eve, it's my dad's birthday. My dad was born on December 31st, so we take him out. We're at this really nice place out in Skinny Atlas. I won't say what it is, but we're outside a really nice place. The bathroom's across from the bar. So I go into the bathroom, I go into the stall. The stall has, I mean, it looks like somebody's house.
Yeah.
So I'm in the stall, and there's a guy, and he walks in, and he's at the urinal. And I hear him kind of on his phone, and he mumbles, and then it stops, and it goes away. So I'm like, okay, maybe he's on the phone. So he's at the urinal, and I have never heard this before in my life. So I'm going to have to I'm going to have to do this the way that it happened. I have never heard this sound in a men's bathroom before in my life, and this was the sound that I heard while I was in the stall.
Valid.
Okay.
It's valid.
So I said, you know, I went back to the table and I said to my dad, and he was like, well, you know, there was like dog art, you know, he's like, there was like some really intricate stuff on the walls. Maybe he was taking a picture. And I was like, Dad, not of the dogs. I kind of wanted to come out of the stall. I just made sure he wasn't taking a picture of me. I mean, you know,
right.
We don't need that. But, you know, when I came out of the stall, I was like, if he was still in there, I was going to play like it was nothing and then look over my shoulder and be like, did you get a good angle?
That's right.
Because, there's nothing else he could have been taking a picture of.
Never underestimate the need for certain dudes to take a farm shot.
That's it. But there's no woman in the world that wants to see a
picture. No, you want to know something? I never took one.
I've never taken one. Listen, I am proud, I've never wanted to take one ever.
Nobody.
I will say that my producer played a nice joke on me, and he showed me, he went to this website, and it played the voicemails from Brett Favre, then
to Jen Sturger.
Then you see the text messages to Jen Sturger, and then at the end you hear this music kind of playing a little bit. And you knew the website was wrong, and so wonderful he did it on my laptop, because, you know, all the viruses that probably were on that old laptop, because the website he went to was like T5UR9. It was not a word.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, just check this out. So he left me with it 3 minutes before I went on the air. And you just hear, you see the text messages, and then you hear silence, and then it's, hi, Jen. I'm just sitting here in my hotel room thinking about you. It's at like 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
At 1:10, it's like, well, I called you 10 minutes ago. I don't know. It was so depressing.
He had dealt it.
Right. And then at the end of it all, there's this music that kind of comes up big, and he goes, bum, bum, bum. And it was three shots of the Red Rocket that was very scary. And there was two things I thought when I saw Brett Favre's man package. The first one...
He was depressed.
Well, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh. I was like, God, I don't want to see that. I don't ever want to see anybody else's but my own.
Yeah.
The second thing... So I went from, oh, God, to, good for me. I mean, like, comparing to Brett, I'm in fantastic shape.
Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly say that Brett Favre made me feel great. He played in the NFL, and you know, I'm more proud of my manhood after seeing his picture.
Right on.
I think I'd be a good quarterback.
So. Oh yeah, exactly.
But Hunter, as always, it's
Thank
great.
You, man.
I know we're planning on doing a lot of stuff in the future, and I really hope that we bring it to the people, because I know they'll appreciate it.
The people. Yeah,
the absolutely. People everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I look forward to hearing this back on.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for everything, and obviously, God bless, and I know you'll do well wherever you go. And
thank you.
Thank you for everything that you've done in my career, and thank you especially for that time that, you know what you did. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let everybody think about that one. Go love yourselves.
Take care.